For the rest of you, if you'll turn in a Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking again at verses 10 through 20. This is the last week of our series on spiritual warfare. We've been marinating in this passage for quite a while. And this is the last sermon in the series. Next week, Lord willing, we will begin a new series from Isaiah to Jesus, where we'll be looking at passages from the book of Isaiah and seeing how they point us ahead to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm excited about that. So I think it will be very good for us in all kinds of ways. But today we're finalizing our series on Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Let me remind you, this is God's Word. It is always true, always good, always helpful. And this is what God has to say to His church today. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is a light and a lamp. Thank you that it is good food for our souls. Spirit, give us ears to hear what you have to say to the church. And we pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, and we trust that you will use this time to produce fruit in us. But whether it is a small amount or a large amount, we entrust to you. And please help me to speak boldly of the truth that we see here in Scripture, in your word. And let us all receive that word with thankful and grateful hearts, and that we will put into practice what we hear for your glory, for our good, and for the good of this community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Apparently there was a football game that was of some importance yesterday that I would be remiss if I didn't mention something about. And I know that there are some of you who are very happy at the results, and there are some of you who are very upset with what happened. But for all of you Wake Forest fans, I hats off to you. Duke tried, but they just did not do a very good job. Did you think I was saying something else? Was there a game that happened yesterday? Speaking of football, in 1989, Southern Miss versus Louisville, some of you may know this game. The score was tied 10-10. USM was on its own 21-yard line. only 6 seconds remained in the game. And quarterback Brett Favre was under pressure, almost sacked. He got away, and at the last second, he reared back, threw the ball as far as he could downfield. The ball traveled over 70 yards, hit one of the other team members' helmet, bounced off the helmet, and fell into the hands of the wide receiver, Darrell Tillman. And he ran into, and he ran and got a score, and the time expired just as he crossed the line. And that play was voted as one of the top five most memorable moments in college football history. Now, for those of you who know a thing or two about football, and I know that there are some of you who know a little bit about football here in this congregation, what do you call that kind of pass? A last second, last ditch effort where you're way behind and you have to throw it and just close your eyes and hope that somebody catches it. What do you call that? A Hail Mary. I know for Protestants we're kind of cringing just saying those words in this place, but that's what it's called. And it's called a Hail Mary because you've tried everything else, it's down to the wire, nothing seems to be working, it's a desperate last-ditch effort. You close your eyes and just hope somebody will catch the ball. And we call that a Hail Mary pass. The church, unfortunately, throws a lot of Hail Mary passes. We wait until we've tried everything else. We've done everything we can. We work as hard as we can. We do all kinds of things. We put all our effort in, and in a ditch effort we go, this isn't working, let's pray. Does that sound like any of us? And so it's fitting, I think, as we've talked about all kinds of things when it comes to spiritual warfare. We've gone through this entire passage. We've talked about being strong in the Lord. We've talked about putting on the whole armor of God, which is really about putting on Jesus. We've talked about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. We've talked about the shield of faith. We've talked about all of these things, but it really is fitting for us today to end this series with prayer. Because to engage in spiritual warfare God's way, prayer is vital. It is vital. Prayer is absolutely necessary. It is essential. Prayer is not something that we just tag on the end as if we do everything we can, and then when that fails, okay, well now let's throw a Hail Mary pass. Prayer is vital to the work of the church, to engaging in the battle. Paul knew this. Paul the apostle. Paul, the one who was persecuted for his faith, who was shipwrecked, who was stoned, who had all kinds of problems in being persecuted, who was imprisoned a few times. You think, that guy, he's pretty bold. He's pretty amazing. And yet he knew he needed prayer. Over and over again in Scripture. In Romans 15:30, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Or in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, you also must help us by prayer. Or in Philippians 1:19, when he says, I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Or in Colossians 4, where he says, pray also for us that God open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Or very simply, in 1 Thessalonians 5, when he says, brothers, pray for us. Paul knew That prayer was vital. Prayer was important. Pray without ceasing is a phrase that Paul gives. And in this particular passage, in verses 18 and following, Paul says to pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, and to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also he asked for prayer for him, for himself. Prayer is vital. It is essential. And if you think you can leave this place and go out and fight a battle without prayer, you're fooling yourself. Now, you may be saying, well, Stuart, I thought we were talking about the whole armor of God. And prayer doesn't really have a piece of this armor. Right? You don't see that here. He doesn't say, okay, well, righteousness is like a breastplate, and truth is like a belt, and faith is like a shield. You don't see that in this passage, and you're right. It's not a part of the armor. But even though prayer is technically not listed as a part of whole armor of God, it has an all-encompassing purpose in spiritual warfare. It has an all-encompassing purpose. Look at verse 18. Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. You see the emphasis that he's placing there? That prayer is something that we do at all times. Not just when we're in trouble. Not just when we've come to the end of our rope. All times. At the beginning, in the middle, at the end, and every time in between. And it's not just things that we pray for only certain things. He says to make supplication for all saints with all kinds of prayers and supplications. And we're to persevere in this kind of praying. And when you start to think about that, it makes sense because prayer is the epitome of what it means to be strong in the Lord. Right? Prayer is the epitome of what it means to be strong in the Lord. And if you're wondering how to spell epitome, E-P-I-T-O-M-E. I had to look it up. Prayer is the epitome of what it means to be strong in the Lord. Rather than getting up in the morning and going, I've got this, we say, Lord, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. That is what it means to be strong in the Lord. And prayer is the epitome of that. It's admitting, I don't have what it takes. I am not sufficient in and of myself to do the work that I'm supposed to do. I can't face these spiritual forces out there all by myself. I have to stop and pray. Prayer is the epitome of what it means to be strong in the Lord. Now, the thing, when we think of prayer, sometimes what we think of is just, we're saying words. Right? That's what prayer is, right? We're talking to God. And the way that sometimes we narrowly define prayer, it's, okay, I'm going to set aside this period of time and I'm going to say my requests. I'm going to bring them to the Lord, and then at the end I say amen and we're done. And that's prayer. But I want you to hear this. Our prayers are not merely words spoken by us. Our prayers are not merely words spoken by us. Our prayers are in the Spirit as well. They are in the Spirit. Notice in verse 18, when he says praying at all times, He could have just said praying at all times with all prayer and supplication and going on, but he says praying at all times in the Spirit. When we pray, prayer is admitting that we need strength from the Lord. And praying in the Spirit is admitting we don't even know how to pray for that right. Praying in the Spirit is praying with the power and the assistance of the Holy Spirit. It is relying on the Spirit. It is recognizing that I don't know how to pray on my own apart from God at work in me through by His Spirit. It's similar to what Paul says in Romans 8:26 when he says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When you pray, do you recognize that reliance on the Spirit? Do you recognize that you don't know what to pray for the way that you should? Do you recognize that your prayers, sometimes they feel like they fall flat? Praying in the Spirit is saying, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no clue. But Holy Spirit, I'm going to rest in You. I'm going to rely on You. Guide my prayers. Help my prayers. Work in me so I learn to pray with Your help, in Your assistance, with Your power. Being strong in the Lord means that we pray. And praying in the Spirit means we recognize that we can't even pray on our own apart from God's help. You see how different this is than the, okay guys, let's get ready for battle. Let's get ready to rumble. Come on. Get armor on and go out there and fight. But that sells. I know how I can get a lot of people to pay attention to my teaching. All I've got to do is tell you a lot of things to do. 5 steps to being a better Christian. 3 steps to being a better husband or better wife. 7 steps to being a better whatever. That sells. Because it pulls on that part of us that says, I want to do something and I can do it on my own. Just give me the instruction. And the gospel comes in and says, no, you can't do it on your own. And I can give you lots of instruction. Lots and lots of instruction. And if you don't have Jesus, and if you're not relying on the power of the Spirit, if the Lord doesn't build the house, it's builders' labor in vain. And that's what this passage is really pointing to us to all along. Don't be strong in your own self. Be strong in the Lord. How are you strong in the Lord? Part of it is relying on Jesus. but it's also praying. And how do you even know how to pray correctly? You rely on the Spirit. You don't trust that you got the words right all on your own. You trust in what the Spirit has breathed in the Word and how the Spirit guides you personally in prayer. I know that makes some of you uncomfortable. This is where I usually insert my Presbyterian jokes. Because we're Presbyterians and we don't talk about the Holy Spirit. Save that for the Charismatics. I don't care what call us. The Scriptures tell us to be filled by the Spirit. The Scriptures tell us to rely on the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures tell us to pray in the Spirit. So whether you want to be called a Charismatic or a Presbyterian, I don't care. Rely on the Spirit. Be filled by the Spirit. Trust in God who gave you the Spirit. That is part of what it's like to be strong in the Lord, is trusting in Him. I mean, He didn't give you the Spirit for nothing, right? The Spirit has been given to you to empower you to do the work that He's called you to do, to go out into the battle. And if you think, I got this, I don't need no Spirit. Well, how's that working out for you? Maybe that's why the church... Maybe that's why the church sometimes looks as malnourished as it does. We like our teaching. We like our classes. We like our small groups. Talking about the Spirit, oh my goodness, that's a little scary. All I'm asking you to do, and I think all that Paul is asking you to do here, is just rely on the Spirit. He's not telling you to get all crazy and jump pews. Okay? Not telling you to get naked and dance around like David did. Not telling you to do any of that stuff. Just rely on the Spirit and trust that when you go to pray, you say, Holy Spirit, help me, because I don't know what I'm doing. I need your help. That's a prayer that God answers. That's a prayer God loves to answer, because He wants you to pray in the Spirit. But there's another problem about prayer. It's not just, we sometimes think it's just words, and we totally ignore the work of the Holy Spirit. The other problem is our enemy loves to trick us into thinking prayer isn't worth it. You know, in verse 11, when it talks about the schemes of the devil, this is one of the big ones. This is a huge trick, a scheme to trick us into thinking, oh, you're getting ready to pray? You know that's not worth it. It's not worth it. What you really need to do is get you a list and start ticking that list off of things you got to do. And prayer shouldn't be on that list. No, 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 good Christian. You want to be a good Christian? Here's what you do. Do a lot of stuff. Work hard. Get it out there and just get it done. Don't worry about prayer. Somebody else has got that. Somebody else is probably gifted in that, and you should just let them do it. Do you hear the lie? I hope you do. In fact, I'm going to say this for me, strongly. Any advice, any instruction, any teaching, any preaching, even if it comes from me, okay? And I mean that. That leads us away from prayer is tainted with that kind of scheme. And Lord, forgive me if my preaching has led anybody away from praying. See, our default mode is, I need to do something. And we think prayer isn't a something. Can we be honest about that? You know, a church is a place where you're supposed to be able to confess. Can we be honest that a lot of times we don't think that prayer is a something? That we think, no, a something is, let me put on my big boy britches and get out there and do some work. Now, is work wrong? No. Is instruction that leads you to do certain things wrong? No. But if prayer is neglected, if prayer isn't a part of that whole thing, if prayer isn't part of the beginning and the middle and the end, then what are we doing? I mean, seriously, what are we doing? I can be a part of any organization, say, let's do something, and we get out there and do it, and there's no prayer needed. But God says, pray. Pray with all kinds of prayers. Pray in all kinds of situations. Pray for all the saints. The enemy wants us to think that prayer isn't worth it, and he is winning that battle often. But praying in the Spirit will always be effectual in one way or another. It will always have an effect. It will always be effectual. Now, it may not give you what you want, and it may not turn out the way you think, but God is always actively listening to His children. Isn't that good news? As a dad, when my kids come to me and they ask for something, I don't always give them what they want. And if I'm honest, which I should be, because I'm a pastor, I don't always listen the way that I should. But God isn't like me. God is better than me, believe it or not. And He listens. He knows what we need even before we ask. And so when we come to God and we say, God, here's what's going on in my life. I need You. I need You to be at work. I need Your help. Will You please work in this? In His time and in His way, he will bring about something. Again, it may not be exactly what you imagine. God does work in mysterious ways. But prayer in the Spirit, prayer guided by the Spirit, will always have an effect. Why? Because if the Spirit is guiding you in your prayers and you're praying for the things that align with God's will, Jesus Himself said, if you pray for anything in My name, and in My name doesn't mean tacking Jesus' name on the end, as if you could just say, I want a DeLorean in Jesus' name, and you can get one. Believe me, I've tried. It doesn't work. Now, praying in the name of Jesus means aligning ourselves with His purposes, His goals, His glory. And when we're praying in the Spirit and we're aligning ourselves with what God says, that always has a good effect. One way or the other, praying in the Spirit will always be effectual. And this is especially true when we pray for boldness to proclaim the gospel of Christ. whenever we, by the power of the Spirit, start praying along the lines of boldness to speak the truth about Jesus, that, my friends, is something God will answer, and you can see real results. And that's exactly what Paul does in this passage. Verse 19, pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Now remember who this man is. This is the man who went on missionary journeys to talk to people about Jesus. This is the man who currently, as he says in verse 18, he is an ambassador in chains. He is in chains because he was speaking boldly about Jesus. And he doesn't say, okay, maybe pray for me to be a little bit more timid because I'm kind of in trouble right now with the law. Now he says, keep the prayers coming. Keep praying. Pray for me to be even more bold in speaking the truth about Jesus. Pray for me that even though I'm in chains right now, I will declare this message boldly. You see, God wants the advancement of the kingdom more than we do. How do I know that? I know it because we all want to build our own kingdoms. Kingdom of stew. That's what I want. But it's not worth it. My kingdom is not worth it. My kingdom is going to let me down. And it's definitely going to let you down. But God wants the advancement of a kingdom of righteousness, joy, and peace. A kingdom that is beautiful and wonderful. A kingdom that where there is life and life it to the full. It is life in Jesus. It is joy in Jesus. It is goodness in Jesus. It is righteousness in Jesus. It is peace in Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and God wants that more than we do. And so when we start aligning ourselves to pray for boldness to speak the good news of Jesus and His kingdom, amazing start to happen. It's okay to pray for Aunt Verna's ingrown toenail. I mean, I want to say that. It is okay to pray for things like that. And we often do. This passage itself says all kinds of prayers for all kinds of things and all kinds of situations. Yes. But if that's all we're praying for, we're missing out on something amazing. You know, the believers in China, especially when they were experiencing a lot of persecution, what they prayed for was that God would be at work in amazing ways among them and spread the good news regardless of what happened to them physically. And you know what happened? The church in China grew faster than it did in America for years. God is calling me and you to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And don't you want that? Don't you want to know that you're a part of something that's bigger than yourself? And it's called the advancement of the kingdom. And God says, let's pray for boldness, for the church, for the pastor, for the leaders, for the missionaries. Let's pray for boldness. Let's pray that we would be bold. If you want something to do, here's something to do. Try it. You know, Christmas is coming up. All kinds of opportunities to say something about Jesus. I mean, you can't go into a store without hearing Joy to the World playing over top, right? All kinds of opportunities. What if the next few weeks we all prayed as a church, Lord, give me boldness to speak something true about you to people around me? What do you think would happen? Let's try it and find out. God has called us to be something, part of something bigger than ourselves, and prayer is a part of that something. And he says, play a part in this. Play a part in the advancement of the kingdom. Pray for boldness. Pray for people's souls to be won. Pray for people to come to faith. Pray for faith to be strengthened. Pray. Now, all of that, if you're like me and you hear all of this, you may go, oh, okay, there it is again. I gotta pray. Obligation, obligation, obligation. I've always got obligations, always responsibility, always having to do something. Anybody else ever feel that way? Especially in the church? Or you just feel like it's just one thing after another. Do this, do this, do this. You got to do this, you got to do this. Here's your responsibility. Do, 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 do. And then you just get kind of weighed down. But my friends, I can understand that because I have been there and I have done that and I keep being there and keep doing that. But when we remember the good news of Jesus, and this is where we want to close today. When we remember the good news of Jesus, prayer becomes a joy and a privilege rather than a burdensome obligation. When you remember that you were distant from God, separated from His good pleasure because of sin, and God so loved you and wanted that relationship back, so He sent His Son to put on flesh, to live a life of righteousness none of us could ever do, to take our sin upon Himself at the cross, and to bear it, to bear the penalty, and to break the power of sin over us. And then He was buried and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and He sat down at the right hand of God the Father, and from there He intercedes for us even now. And because that is true, the holy, holy God that we sang about today, the holy, holy God who hates sin, we are able to come boldly into His presence. Not because of who we are, but because of Jesus. And we can cast our cares on Him because we know He cares for us. How do we know? Because He sent us Jesus. Because Jesus died for us and rose from the dead for us. And then you see prayer not as, oh, here it comes, another thing I have to do, another thing I have to put on my checklist. No, it is a privilege. It is a joy to come into the presence of my Father who loves me, and I can say, Abba, Father, I need you. I need your help. I need you to be at work in me. I need you to be at work in these people, your church. I need you to be at work in this community, in my family, in my marriage, in my children, whatever it might be. I need you. And God hears and answers according to His wisdom and His will and His care. Why would we neglect that? When the God who can do more than we could ask or imagine has invited us to come in and pray. Does that sound like a burden then? To me, it's all in how you look at it. It's an all in how you frame it. And if you're thinking, this is one more thing I've got to do, then yeah, it feels like a burden. But if you realize, wow, what lengths God has gone to so that I can have direct, bold communion with Him. Wow, what a joy it is to come into His presence. So folks, because of the good news of Christ, let's boldly draw near. Let's boldly draw near to the throne of grace with our requests, and especially when it comes to the advancement of the kingdom. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that because of Jesus, I can pray. That I can say these words. That I can come into your presence with joy and thanksgiving. And even though I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to prayer, I'm thankful that it's by your Spirit, that even when I don't know how to pray as I ought, there are groanings too deep for words that the Spirit is supplying. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. Will you please continue to work in me that I will grow in prayer, that these folks here will grow in prayer, that we would truly be strong in Jesus because we're relying on the Spirit in prayer. And I do ask that each one of us would take up the challenge to pray for boldness. And that you would answer that prayer in some surprising ways. And that we would see something that we could not even comprehend or imagine on this side of it. But that we would look back and say, wow, look at what our God has done. Would you do that for your glory, for our good, for the good of this community? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.